Welcome to the Advisor Arena Podcast with your hosts Jamie Malm and Josh Watson. This show is designed to share ideas and help you gain insight from some of your most successful peers. We will discuss industry news, hot topics, and challenges you may face, as well as give you some possible solutions. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get started.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Advisor Arena Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Malm, and you will notice Josh Watson is not with us today, but in his place, we have a super exciting guest, Judah Day. Judah, I'm really excited to have you on because I keep sending you people to talk to have the same conversation for coaching. So you're probably glad we're doing it too. Now it's finally going to be recorded and maybe you'll be off the hook for all of these phone calls to repeat yourself.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my calls are the same. It's, you know, virtual sales and camera angles and stuff like that. So, but I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you're kind of an expert in this, and I don't know if you can talk a little bit about how that came about, but a couple episodes ago, Josh and I talked about the companies that are promising 40 appointments, high net worth people, but those are all virtual appointments. So we talked a little bit about the challenge then of running those virtual appointments. If you got them, could you actually convert those people? So we asked you to join us. We want to go through really from first phone call to follow up, what's different about running virtual appointments than they are in person, because they do differ greatly and there's some best practices, right?
Yeah, 100%. I kind of think there's so many advisors that have done the old school meet in person. They're used to their process. They got it down, you know, then they switch to virtual or try it. And they're like, wait, what happened to my closing ratio? What happened to the follow-up? Why am I getting ghosted? You know, what's changing? And it is different. So I think just kind of understanding conceptually the difference will help a lot of your viewers just understand, like, what is different? Why do they feel that way?
Yeah.
That'll help alone. So, and then the process is a big change as well for them.
Let's talk about the first step, because when we're running virtual appointments, it's not usually just suddenly we're on a virtual appointment like I appear on Zoom. It usually starts with a phone call to set up that virtual meeting. And that's going to be different because if you're used to like running seminars, you get a referral or you meet somebody, it's an introduction at a client event, you've had some kind of interaction and then they're coming into the office. This is totally different. This is maybe I got a lead. I know that I now need to reach out to somebody, but it's a phone call. So let's start with best practices. What do you say on that phone call? What do you do?
So the phone call, the way I work through this process is the phone call is, it's kind of like the path of least resistance first. The path of least resistance is let's just have a phone call, right? And most people are not going to be as, you know, rejecting of that option. So in the phone call, I really have just a couple of objectives. And I try to think in terms of principle or objectives, like bigger picture, not just a specific little thing. And my objective is to give them an experience of what they can expect moving forward. So what I mean by that is how I talk to them, what I talk about. For example, I'll give you one thing I don't focus on is just their money. Mm-hmm. Tell me how much money you have. What return are you expecting? You know, what are your fees? So I try to not focus on that. I try to focus on their dreams, hopes, goals, and aspirations. So if you talk to them in that manner where you're focusing on what are you hoping to accomplish in life? What do you want the future to look like? Tell me about your family dynamic, challenges. Tell me what's really important to you. That changes the dynamic for them. You don't sound like some telephone salesman, right? That you're trying to find out how much money they have.
Because it's not what they're used to. And depending on where the lead came from, if it's a lead source like what we're used to as a lead source, they might have had four other calls. And so you've got to sound different. You've got to be different than what everybody else did and said.
Yeah, 100%. And the sources that I'm using, right, at least right now, I'm competing with others.
Yeah.
We're competing for the same person. And I swear everybody, every advisor's got the same call. You know, they always say, what do you want to accomplish? And they say, how much money do you have? They can't wait to get to that number so that they can decide, great. So they're satisfying their self and their own desire and needs, not the consumer's desire and need.
How long is that first phone call?
So the way I do it is it's 30 minutes. I have had it go longer. I have had it go shorter. It just depends a little bit on the consumer. You know, here I live, I'm in Arkansas. So in the South, there's a little more, you know, conversation and tell me about the weather. It's just kind of the style, which I lean into. But I have a lot of people that have moved here from different parts of the country, right? Lower cost of living. They want to get to the point. So you have to understand consumers. You got to know how to speak to them. A lot of them are 15 minutes. But if they're here local and they just want to talk and shoot the breeze, 30 minutes. And Jamie, when I talk through this, I don't really get to the money until the last 5 minutes, maybe 10 at the most. I'm all about, tell me about your family, your dynamic. Tell me, what are you trying to accomplish? When do you want to retire? What does it look like to you? So feeling questions, desire.
Right.
That's significant. Another thing I always think is important when you have this meeting is I need to know my objective. My objective is, in addition to creating this, you know, relaxing atmosphere, it's to schedule the next appointment, which will be on Zoom for me. And I know we're going to get into some of that. But what in order to help me do that, I need to remove fears and anxieties, build anticipation, desire, and interest. So there's a lot that you do in that call, just mannerisms. One of the ways I always do that closer to the end, after I kind of figure out there, do you have something that I can help you with? Are your expectations too reasonable? Are they reasonable? I always set the expectation of my process.
Well, I was going to ask about the transition. So is the transition really, you spent the bulk of the time letting them talk, right? Which kind of sales 101, we know if you're the one that's doing all the talking, you've probably lost them. So you're letting them talk, you're uncovering how they feel about things. What are their goals? What are their dreams? When it's time to transition then and set expectations for, here's my process, I think I can help you, here's the next step. Tell me what that transition looks like then to set up that Zoom call.
Yeah. And I always try to add personality through the phone as much as I can. And I did my fingers like it's an old phone.
Yeah, you did.
I did, yeah. But maybe I should go like this for the young people watching. I don't know how to do it.
Some TikToks where they'll say, hold a phone up to your ear. And everybody that's like our age or older does this. And everybody else, does, I don't even know what they do. Because
it's got to be a version of this or like something. Hold it like this. I don't know. My daughter like holds the phone out.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, put it up to your, anyway. Yeah. So my transition is pretty simple. I usually use verbiage that is, you know, money is just a tool to accomplish all those dreams, goals, and hopes and aspirations that you mentioned to me today. And really, this is just kind of like speed dating. It's kind of like, do I kind of like you and do you kind of like me? And I got to say, I kind of like you. I think we'll get along really well. So that's literally what I say to them. So it's kind of adds some personality, some funness. They're understanding the speed dating. You know, I'm not going to trick them into an appointment. I don't want them to feel that way. So after I do that, I say, you know, I really am slow, at least in my process. In my process, I describe the three steps. My first step is I really need to know you guys. I need to really understand you. I've got some of your dreams, hopes, and goals, but I want to know what makes you tick. And I need to understand the full scope of your situation as a fiduciary to give you good advice. I need to really understand that. That's step one. That's just a 1 hour meeting where we talk, we visit. I'm going to ask you lots of questions. Number one rule of my business is know your client, and I need to get to know you. The second step is after that first meeting, once I feel like I truly understand you, what's important to you and what you want to accomplish, I schedule our second meeting. Our second meeting, I feel like will be one of the most impactful financial meetings of your life. And that's verbiage I get from Rami in Million Dollar Minds, which you've attended and has, you know, really helped a lot of advisors. So in that meeting, I'm going to have a written financial strategy for you. It's not going to have a bunch of products and portfolio recommendations. It's a plan.
Right.
Right. That's Sounds something sense. That most people don't have.
So as we're transitioning, then obviously it's important to set expectations on what the entire process is. One, I would imagine that creates stickiness, right? It prevents fall off because they know I'm got some tangible things coming. This isn't just, I'm going to show up for the next meeting. You're going to try to sell me something. I'm going to try not to be sold, but you're actually putting a plan in place. And this is the next step for me to get that plan. So do you send anything between, because they haven't met you, they haven't seen you, that you could be some creepy guy in your basement, which I don't know that you're not, but what do you send to make sure they're showing up for that first Zoom appointment? And do you ask them to come with anything?
So this is critical. This is where really the process begins that may be different outside of just having a phone call. Number one, I always get their address, okay, mailing address, and I send them something they can touch. Mm-hmm. Because throughout this process, if they're walking to your office, like Jamie, I know you built your office, you got a great space. They don't get to see all of that. They don't see anything but this little view as, you know, once they're on Zoom, plus what I send them. So all I send them is I send them a nice trifold brochure and a business card. I don't want to overwhelm them and make them feel, you know, okay, I'm unloading the world on them. I'm sending them all of this stuff. I want to keep it simple. So that's a tangible thing I send them immediately that day, if possible, or the day after, because I also know cognitive dissonance starts, which is, you know, they've probably never done a financial meeting through Zoom. So it's something different and we've got to overcome that bias. So send them something tangible. Second thing I send them is we'll send them an email. And in that email, it's a very simple, clean email. People don't want to read emails anymore. It's a very simple, clean email that says, here's your time. Looking forward to it. Please watch this short video. And for me personally, what I'm sending them is my about me video that, you know, was professionally made. It didn't start that way, but, you know, Gradient's design team made it for me. It's just a really nice 4 or 5 minute clip about me, my kids, my ranch. It's really about who I am so that their defenses start to come down before I ever even show up, you know, on that Zoom meeting. So those are two things. Send them something tangible, send them an email with a reminder and a video so that they can watch and get to know the man in my or the woman a little bit more before they, you know, meet with me. It just kind of brings down those defenses and it makes them feel familiar, which they're less likely to not show up. It's really easy to hang up on a TV screen, right? Yeah. Or just turn it off. And that makes me more real to them.
Yeah. I think with the online scams and people that are nervous about, you know, what kind of information am I giving out online? And is this a real advisor? They can't see you in person. They're not, like you said, seeing your office. So sending some simple credibility pieces, you're not trying too hard. And then let me show you a little bit more about myself, who I am, my family, my values, so important. And that about me video, super simple. Like you can come to the Gradient office. We can record that in an afternoon, ready to go. You've got that to send out. One of the things that I know that's different from a normal appointment process, appointment one, usually when we're hosting in-person appointments, we ask them to bring things in. They don't always do it. And this is maybe where, I don't know, it's probably a 60-40 split on advisors that ask people to bring in tax returns and brokerage statements and all their documents. We do, and we almost always get them. If they don't, it's fine. Another way of thinking is I don't want to give anybody homework or a reason not to show up. That way of thinking, 100% true, probably for virtual appointments, right? So we don't want to give them any reason not to come. And so we're not asking for things on that first appointment.
No, in fact, that I tell them, you know, usually in that phone call, if I feel there's any hesitation, but I try to make it regular in that call, is I say, look, I don't need you to bring anything but your dreams, goals, hopes, aspirations. And I have one piece of homework for you. Between now and our meeting, I would like you and your spouse, or just you, to think about what you really want the future to look like financially for you. Maybe talk about it with your spouse.
Simple.
Very simple. They're like, they, now they can't wait to tell somebody else what they talked about.
Yeah.
Right. Then they want to share that with me. And that's simple. It's not overwhelming. It's not going to break anything. That does cause more challenges, right? Because now you got to collect it because you don't have it. But that's part of the process of that first appointment on Zoom, where you have to work through that a little differently than just bring your stuff in. I'm awesome. It's now I got to prove it to you. Now I got to show you why I need you to send me your tax return virtually, right? Like, get me that through the internet. It just causes a new set of challenges, but it's certainly worth it virtually when you're doing it that way.
Yeah, it's maybe a little slower process, but worth it on the back end. And we've got to adjust the mindset of what's convenient for us versus what's going to create comfort for them. So let's talk about, now we're on the Zoom. A lot of mistakes we can make here, but let's start with some of the basics. You touched on it earlier. They only see this square box.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the Zoom setup.
So, I mean, I some of this happened by accident for me, but then as I figured it out, I got better and better. So for example, let me first, like, my view, right? If you're looking at my view, this is exactly how I meet with clients. I'm always standing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I think it helps me with movement. If you're in person, it's different, right? It's just not the same. So I'm at a standing desk. It helps with my gestures. So I'm not kind of just, you know, not moving my hands. Also, the view is, you want it to be something that feels like an office and is significant. And Jamie, if I can, you know, like, you have a beautiful office. By the way, I'm in a single car garage. I have remodeled my single car garage to be an office. Mm-hmm. You'd never know that, right? It's this nice view. This is their reality, this perception. You have this beautiful office, but looking at your corner, I'd never know you have an impressive office. For all I know, you just set up a mic, you put it in the corner of a bedroom, and on the other side's your bed.
Yeah.
So transparency becomes more and more important in them seeing this view. I've had people say, is that a background? Right. You see, it's decorated. Now, I didn't decorate any of this. Julie did.
My wife
did. I couldn't do this if I wanted to. In fact, when I first set up, Jamie, you can kind of see my desk here. I had this nice desk. I was like, oh, I'm going to meet with clients. I've got my chairs. Right. And everybody kept saying, no, virtual sounds good.
Yeah.
And at first, my background was a window with blinds. What a terrible view. I see that all the time with advisors when I kind of start that. Or it'll have this panning view and there's like junk spread out all over their desk. And it just kind of looks, you know, a little ratty and just disorganized. So this is their perception. 100% of their perception is right here. And then what you send them and to the internet with lighting. I was going to do this for you too. Like, if you look at my face right now, if you can see me, if you just simply open a white Word document, the lighting changes on my face.
Right.
Right. So now there's more glare because I have a white document on my screen right now, versus if I switch back to my darker background, you can see how it changed on my face. That's just my computer monitor. Right. So lighting is significant. If you wear glasses, it's even worse. I'm thinking about getting LASIK just so I don't have to deal with this glare. Right. The other thing is, my view doesn't matter. You can't see it, but I am standing looking at a corner. I'm in the corner of my office. What matters is their view, not my view.
I hope we're going to have a lot of people that listen to this and aren't necessarily seeing it. We do post these on our social media. We'll post it to YouTube. Go grab a video of this, because I do think this is so important for me. You know, when you and I talked, Judah, so we both run practices, obviously. You said, look, if somebody, all other things equal, if they had a chance to work with you or work with me, my background, I look much more, you said, I look much more impressive. And 100%, I have a blank wall behind me. So I had to get, well, I didn't have to, but this is an easy setup for me. Got a little standing mobile desk. It's on wheels. I can roll it out, set it to the side of my conference room. What they'll see behind me then, it'll be similar to yours. They'll see sliding doors for the conference room. They'll see the lobby beyond it. They'll see the Iron Horse wooden sign on the brick wall. They'll see, if they continue looking, the parking lot beyond that. That will give comfort then to the people that I'm on the Zoom call with that this is not somebody that popped a microphone up in the corner of a bedroom. This is a legitimate office, but it takes some effort and you can't just say, look, I know I'm impressive. I've got an impressive office. They don't know that. Mm-hmm. It's worth it.
They're this reality, this perception is their own reality, and even the camera angle. So when you and I had first talked, you know, your camera was a little high, so you're almost were looking up, so they see down, right? And you want to have it to where it looks like you're looking eye level with them, even where you look. Now, right now, I'm looking at you. Okay. But when I am meeting with a consumer, what I actually do is I move the picture mm-hmm. over here. So now I'm looking eyeball to eyeball with you. Okay. It feels more like I'm making eye contact.
Yeah.
It's significantly different. Whereas if you're looking to the side, which is what I'm doing for this podcast from that perspective, it doesn't feel the same. They don't know. Are you looking at me? Are you looking at notes? What are you looking at? So trying to make eye contact and they can see your eyes. You don't want your eyes darting, you know, all over the screen. You look at them sometimes, then you look at yourself. So you have to discipline yourself to stay focused in one spot. And that's not easy to do. It's kind of challenging. The other thing with the room setup, Jamie, I mentioned this is something I learned in Million Dollar Minds from Rami. And I know it's something you've incorporated in your practices. I feel like it's always important to give them an in-office experience the best as possible. So I always use my whiteboard. I will write things out for them. I will draw. I want them to feel this interaction. I'm not a video. And what that also does is it allows me to step back, you know, which mm-hmm. I can't do as much now. And then they see me moving through my office. It just creates a more I'm there with you feeling. And also it keeps you in teaching mode with them. They see you as that professor, which is a significant, you know, need, especially in virtual appointments, to have that.
I think a lot of advisors have TV screens like I do in the office. So I'll bring up reports. I'll have things that I want to show on the TV screen. I might have, brochures or the nest egg chart or something that I want to highlight. They're not going to have that. And I could flip over and share my screen, but being able to slide a whiteboard over and write out red money, yellow money, green money, show the foundation of a house where annuities fit, just simple things that create the same type of experience like you said that they would have if they were with you. So important. And it shows that it's not a virtual background. You're able to step into it. You're able to walk around the room, because virtual, I would say those virtual backgrounds almost worse than if you have a chaotic mess, right? Because now they're like, what are you trying to hide? Now I really am scared. What are you blurring out behind you? So don't use the virtual backgrounds.
100% agreed. I see advisors and they have like their logo, which is really nice, right? They'll put their logo, you know, Iron Horse in the background. And it's like, that's nice, but this is nicer.
Yeah, agreed.
This is what it should be. And you're right. They're like, do you actually have an office? I can't even see. And then that causes problems, because then when you move around and you try to draw, they see that little edge all the time. And it's just kind of distracting. So you've got to rearrange things. That's step one in this. Rearrange it. You're going to be sharing your screen. So you have to get good at using Zoom or Teams mm-hmm. or Google Meet, whatever. I found Zoom, most clients, seems the easiest. They're used to that more, but whatever is easiest for them. On my Calendly link, I always have Teams, Google Meets, or Zoom. So they can choose which one's better for you. When appointments are met, we choose the one easier for them. They're more familiar with.
Yeah, because you don't want barriers to joining the appointment. And if they're like, I don't know, that freaks me out. I don't know how to use Google Meet. I will say that I feel like I'm fairly tech savvy. We use most of those, but we had a recruiting call with my son and we had to use Google Meet. And I mean, Brad and I were trying to download things. They're like, you got to get it on your phone. You got to set this person up. We had to set up a separate email. It was a mess. And I was so irritated by the time I got on the phone with this company that wanted to help with recruiting. We didn't move forward with them. And Brad was so frustrated because he said, this is actually a great deal. And I was like, I'm so mad before we get on the phone. I'm not doing it. That was because of technology. So you've got to go with what they are comfortable with and make it very, very simple. That Calendly link, key, because they can click right on it, choose the date and time that's best for them. You're not bouncing back and forth, sharing emails. Let me give you a couple dates. Well, no, that doesn't work for me. Yes, this works for me. Use things that are simple and keep it automated.
Yeah. And one other thing that I feel like, you know, outside of just setup, right? So where the camera sits, you know, approximate eye level, not down, not up. I feel like it's more important to be well-groomed than almost normal. This is their entire perception. You can pick up on little details on a camera and you might be like massive on their TV, right? So well-dressed, well-groomed, all of those things are very important. But something else that I think is really important, especially in that first meeting, is you're on Zoom with them or virtual. I always want to show them that they will receive something tangible. So one of the tangible things I always have sitting on my desk for that first meeting is as I'm talking to them, I'm setting expectations for the next meeting. I always say in our next meeting, after the meeting is over, I'm going to be sending you your written strategy. So there, I'm showing them what it will look like. I am giving them or building in them desire and anticipation for a thing. And inside of this, honestly, it's not all that fancy. In fact, some of you have probably made much better versions of this. Jamie, I know you have a version, but we just used an executive summary on the front, which, by the way, you can go to, you know, you can get that from Jamie or you can go to Case Central with Gradient, get that document. It's sitting there in the document section. And then the rest of it is just Gradient's reports through Case Central. That's it. I'm creating nothing outside of this, but I am printing that. I'm showing them I'm going to be sending this to you. And so that they're like, oh, I want that thing. I want that tangible item. So then one day when they do receive that after the second meeting, they have something in their hands, which again, makes you more real. You're tangible. You exist. You're not just a talking head in their TV screen.
So let's back up for a minute because you're on appointment one where you don't have any statements yet. So we're not talking about after this Zoom ends, I'm sending you this report. You don't have anything you can create for them yet, but holding up those reports, the something tangible, I would assume that is an extra nudge to this is what's waiting on the other side of you getting me your documents. This is the written plan I'm going to provide to you. The next step is now here's where, hey, it saved us some pain on the front end because we didn't have to have them bring anything, but they can't walk into your office and hand documents to you. So they have to get them to you either by uploading through Generational Vault or emailing if it's, you know, if it's secure and they're not concerned about the data that's in there. Talk to me about how you set that expectation and what the timing is to give them enough time to get their documents, allow you to create the reports and have those ready for appointment two.
So this involves like tactical planning. Okay. So number one, as you're going through questions in the fact finder, when you get to a question about, let's just say their IRA, and you ask them about, are you concerned about taxes? If they're like, yes, oh, well, you know, why don't you send me your tax return. I'll build a tax strategy in all of this for you. So throughout the process, when you're asking questions, you've got to show a need for those items.
Mm-hmm.
Not just
along the way.
The way is critical. Ask a question. That sounds impactful. Let me write that down. Tell me more about that. Oh yeah, I hate taxes. You know what? This sounds important to you. Why don't I review your taxes and see if I can find anything that will be helpful in this overall planning process? So you have to build the need and you have to explain to them, why do I want your tax return? Then once you've done that, that's just one example, you know, the tax return, but you do the same with brokerage statements. You do the same with anything you want. Then at the very end, when you say, here, you're going to get this. Now, it's very important for me to build the strategy that you really want that is as accurate as possible. It's going to take my team about a week and a half to 2 weeks to build your personal strategy. Now, let's first schedule that meeting. Then I schedule the meeting. I try to get closer to 2 weeks out, honestly, but a week and a half will work. Sometimes that's pushing it, but you can do it.
Depends on how fast they get their stuff to you. So
exactly.
two weeks is pretty safe.
It's pretty safe. And then I schedule a second date for them. And this is where it's important here is that the second date that I schedule is no more than 3 business days from the day I'm meeting with them, unless they're going on vacation or something's happened. We understand that. But generally speaking, I schedule 3 business days from today. And I say, can you have all of these things that I need uploaded into the generational vault in the next 3 business days? That would be Thursday, you know, March 5th. And if they say, yeah, I can do that. Okay, great. My team will remind you just in case, but it's imperative for me to have these so my team can start the work. It takes them 4 to 5 business days to build the plan. So the sooner you get this to me, the more accurate and valuable this written strategy will be to you. So you're scheduling 2 dates. Number one, the date I need you to get all this to me and why. And number two, the date of the meeting where I'm going to reveal this master strategy because you've given me all this valuable data. Now I can build you this wonderful strategy that I am going to mail to you and you'll have it in your hands. So that is very tactical in the way you do it. You drop hints throughout the process, throughout the questionnaire. Then at the end, you explain why, what you need, create deadlines, timeframes, and get their commitment to doing that.
You talked about some golden nuggets in there that I hate to bypass, but little things for $1 million minds that are so valuable. If you're listening to this and you're like, I really want to zero in on that appointment process, regardless of whether it's virtual or not, Judah just talked about some key things that keep people moving forward. So reach out to Josh or I. We've got some great resources just on the appointment process overall. So I don't want you to feel like we're glossing over some of these really important, the verbiage and the psychology and the timing of how we are structuring this. But goal for today is the nuances, virtual versus in-person. So written report, 2 weeks might be longer than what most people are used to. So when you originally told me that, I said, my fear would be 2 weeks is too long. People are going to start to, I can't even remember what we talked about. So talk to me about maybe what's sent between those appointments, how you keep them engaged for anybody that's worried. 2 weeks is a really long time.
Yeah, 2 weeks is a long time. I have not had someone yet not show for that second meeting. Now, will it happen one day? Sure. I mean, it's going to happen to everybody and somebody may be, going through this process and experience that, but it's just not happened. I haven't had that challenge, but I think the importance is really building the value, the anticipation, the desire, right? All of those things are critical. I've captured their interest. They want more.
Yeah.
And I've set it up for the most impactful financial meeting of your life. Right. That's one of those MDM tips that builds that out. So, but you got to keep them as high as possible. Right. People get buyer's remorse really fast. Usually within 3 days, that buyer's remorse just drops like a rock. So first, you've given them something to do. Our team, after that meeting, will send them an email with the list of items we need from them. In that same email, we'll give them their GenVault login and information and their password. So they know I can get in there. Then they log in and change the password because it's their temporary password. So they get in there, they start dropping things in. After they've put everything in the vault, if they've done it, my team reaches out the next day. Thank you so much for getting that. We're going to begin the process of building your written strategy. So that just brings them back up, right? So now conceptually, they've talked to my staff, they've talked to somebody, or maybe I'll do it if I have to, right? Okay, thank you for doing that. Really excited. We're going to start building your plan. Our team is going to start building your plan. We always send them, if you have another video, now this is where being tactical can help. For example, if you have the Real Advisor video that Gradient has made and you have the About Me video. So the first thing I send him is who is the man? The second video is who is the company? That's the Real Advisor video. If the advisors have that, that will be extremely helpful as well. Builds credibility, gives them something to think about, builds more desire and anticipation for that. But in addition to that, after every meeting, so I've had the first meeting, we always send them something tangible. So we'll send them a thank you card. Thank you for attending. We look forward to establishing our long-term relationship. Just something so they can touch it, right? Mm-hmm. Just a little thank you card, nothing overly fancy, nothing, you know, exhilarating here. Just a video about our firm. If you have the Real Advisor, that's ideal. And I don't have that yet. When I do, I'm going to have that. But this would be another time if they have the book, to send them the book and say, please read, you know, the first three pages of chapter 2 and the first three pages of chapter 4. So then they have your book. They read a couple of chapters, which maybe it's about red money, green money. It's about income or Social Security planning. Now they've got your book.
Yeah.
Now you've given them an assignment, which is to, you know, watch something, to read something. And it just keeps the high as much as possible, which is pretty significant in that process.
It's keeping you as the authority on the topics that they said they're most concerned about. So if you have a book, then throwing a sticky note in a section of the book that talks about maybe if they were most concerned about taxation, if they were most concerned about outliving income, if they were most concerned about, you know, what's going to happen to my family when I'm gone, highlighting sections and just saying, you know, thought you could benefit from this. Here's a copy of my book. If they read it or not, do we care? No, it's not homework. It's just, we've got now 2 weeks between when I've met with you, you've bared your soul and all your hopes and dreams, and how can I help, to when we're actually going to get back together to keep things moving. You've got to keep them engaged. So they're going to get a reminder to upload to the vault. At the 3-day mark, they're either going to have done it and they'll get a thank you, or you're going to call to say, hey, today's the day that we need to make sure we get this in by. They're going to get a handwritten thank you note. They're going to get a video link about the team, now not just you if you have it, and a book if you have it. And there are lots of things that you could send. If you're listening, you're like, I don't have a book. There's probably something similar that you could send. We can talk through that. But another reason why some of these extra credibility pieces and things that are tangible that you can use to create authority for yourself are so helpful. People often say, oh, I don't know what I'd do with it. This is what you do with it.
Yeah, 100%. And you're right. You can write a white paper or just something. It's credibility. It's something to keep them up. So buyer's remorse, you know what? This was, I don't even know this guy. And we bared our soul to this dude. And you know, where does he live again? And how that's going through their brains every day. So you've got to keep that high, build the credibility, send them something to do while they're waiting for your team to build this master strategy. And that will help them. And then always, I think this is 101, but always the day before, remind them.
Yeah.
Phone call. Okay. Not an email, not a calendar, just the calendar link. Don't trust that. Have somebody in your office call them if possible. Just remind them. If you're using, you know, my rep chat or texting service, some people really like the texting part. They're at work. They can't take a phone call. That's fine. As long as it's personal and they know it's what they've asked for, always the day before or close to that, send them that reminder, because people are going to forget, especially with virtual appointments. It's not like they got to get in their car and drive somewhere. They've not made plans. They just got to sit down and turn their computer on or maybe their phone. So remind them. Then the day of, you know, you sit down with them and then you review the strategy. You even, on that second appointment, once you have that, you say, I've got your strategy. I've got it for you. I'm going to be mailing it to you tomorrow. So all of those things, those are some examples. I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit on you, but those are examples of things that you'd use.
That was actually the next question, was just to clarify, you're not actually, even though the reports are done, you're not mailing to them to have in hand for that second appointment. They don't get it until They've gone through them with you. You've had the second appointment. You can close that appointment like you would in person, which is, you know, what do you like about it? What would you want to change about it? Next step is, but they're not getting the actual tangible reports until the next day when you drop them in the mail. And then your third appointment is like any third appointment, I would assume, where you're actually making the recommendations and talking about specific strategies.
That's absolutely right. And I tried when I first started, I tried to make it so that the strategy was there for that appointment. I tried it first because I thought, man, what kind of service would this be? But then they would want to change it, or they would want to change their income. And then I just realized it wasn't having the impact. And then the worst thing that can happen is they read it and they have a question. They're like, this doesn't make sense. And then they're fearful and you don't even have a chance to give them context. So it should definitely be after. And I explain it as you did. This is a draft of your plan. If there's anything you want to change, let me know. That way they're not rejecting you. They're saying, I want to change something that you built, not I don't want you. Let's edit the draft. Yeah. So it's less chance for real rejection or no's. And, you know, context is given to that. And usually I just send it the next day, just normal, you know, priority mail, nothing fancy, just a little cardboard envelopes that you put them in there, ship it to them. It's there, you know, 2 to 3 days after that meeting, which seems to work just fine.
I love it. Let's boil it down to top three tips, start to finish. So number one takeaway on the phone call piece of it, what would you say?
Focus on their dreams, goals, hopes, and aspirations, not the money, and set expectations.
Okay. Love it. You're on the Zoom. Number one takeaway.
Number one takeaway is this perception is their reality. Learn to control the room, have a good view, and build anticipation by showing them something tangible that they will receive.
Perfect. Finally, then, the close, the most impactful financial meeting of their life is what sets that up. Number one best practice here.
Number one best practice is know your client and what they want, and masterfully use gradients reports to accomplish solving their problems and providing their dreams and goals. And from a virtual standpoint, have the tangible item that you send them that builds anticipation. Use other tools like whiteboards as well. Make sure they see movement in the room.
I love it. This has been so helpful. I know we're going to have advisors that have follow-up questions. So if you're listening to this and you're like, that answered 90% of my questions, that's our goal. But Judah, you are part of the tactical coaching team that all of our advisors have access to. So I kind of joked in the beginning that maybe this recording would take place of all the phone calls you have to have repeating yourself, but I know actually you're happy to do it. It's part of your role, and we want to make sure that all of you feel very empowered and educated and have access to the resources and the tips and the do's and the don'ts that make this work. No better resource for you than somebody who not only is seeing what other advisors do that make it work, that make it don't, but he's living it and doing it himself. So take advantage of Judah and his team. They are such an important resource that we've made available to everybody at Gradient. If you've got questions on getting aligned with that team, or you want to just pick up this conversation further, you can always contact Josh and I. We'll connect you with appropriate next steps. But Judah, thank you so much for joining. It was great information as always, and we're thankful for you.
You're very welcome, Jamie. And I'm looking forward to seeing your new background when you do your virtual meetings.
Yeah, I won't let you use me as a do not do next time. I'll be ready.
That's awesome.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.